Well, this week, the Domestic Cricket Podcast have the opportunity to speak to yet another international guest, but not just any guest. This man is the captain of an international side, and that side is Namibia. Please welcome to the podcast, Mr. Gerhard Erasmus.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be on your podcast today.
So tell me about your journey as a child to making your debut for Namibia at the age of just 16. How did you get into cricket?
So basically, cricket started for me at a very young age in Namibia. Started playing garden cricket and cricket on the piece of land, a farm we have outside of Windhoek, the capital of Namibia. My dad built a little bit of a cricket net on the farm. So there was endless hours of playing in the cricket nets, all my mates coming to the farm and just bowling and batting all day in the sun. And after that, I sort of joined academies, playing cricket under academies who were then coached by some Namibian national cricketers, and got selected eventually under 13, under 15, under 19 for Namibia's age group teams, which was really cool. We had many opportunities to play, mostly in South Africa. And then eventually I made my debut at 16 for Namibia against Ireland, which was a great honour. It probably was a bit too early in my career to skills-wise, and to get into my career that early was quite frightening. But at the end of the day, I gathered lots of experience from my early years in cricket. It started paying off at about the age of 19 or 20 or so, and I started making my name, started defining my role in the team as a number four batsman. I have no regrets looking back at making my debut that early. But I only just, started peaking a bit later in my career, and now at 25, I sort of feel like I start to understand my game better, and hopefully my best years are still to come.
I understand that Namibia is very drought prone and funding for cricket is a lot less than in other nations. What are your facilities for cricket like over in Namibia?
Yeah, water is a scarce commodity in Namibia. We only have about 400 millimeters of rainfall on average per year. So getting pitches in the grounds ready is quite tough. It's a daily job for our groundsmen. But I think the toughest thing is just to have the facilities at first. So it's obviously not a very cheap thing to do, is just to build a cricket field around here. So there are a few nice facilities in Windhoek, but in the country as a whole, there's only about five or six facilities with turf wickets. And in terms of turf nets, there's only about two facilities with turf nets. So, yeah, it's definitely a struggle and a challenge for our board to get our facilities up to standard. The local league also struggles a bit to keep each of their fields, in a good standard, outfields in a good standard. But I guess the better the us as national players do, the more funding we can get from the ICC, the more we can pump money into that sort of stuff. So it is partly in our hands. But I guess our board, they try their best to upgrade our facilities. The national team's nets is brilliant. We do have about 9 or 12 strips of turf nets that we can use around the year. So we don't have many complaints. But, to move the game to more people, I think we need more grounds and we need better facilities around, definitely. Hopefully that can realise in the future.
I'd like to know where the most players in the Namibian cricket team come from. Are most from the capital, Windhoek, or are more from the coastal towns like Walvis Bay?
So the national team is based in Windhoek. Our training facility is at Wondrous in Windhoek, and our strength and conditioning facility is also in the centre of Windhoek, which is the capital city, and most of the cricket takes place around there. There's one good cricket club and good facility in Walvis Bay. Walvis Bay and Swakopmund along the coastline also provide us with a bit of talent and with local cricket. So that's mostly where the talent comes from. The northern parts and the southern parts of the country are very sparsely populated, but also there's not many facilities and clubs and cricket around there. It's definitely, especially the north, is one of the places of talent we still need to try and invest in. It is quite a struggle. But yeah, as for now, the national team all reside in Windhoek, and they all train at the facilities in Windhoek. So that's mainly our hub at the moment. We've got Zhivago Groenewald. He's from a coastal area. Mauritius, Ngupita, and Ben Chikongo. So those three players are all three players that have made it from Walvis Bay into our national team setup.
Now, obviously, there's less funding for cricket over in Namibia than here in Australia, but can a player like yourself make a living off cricket, or do you have to work other jobs as well?
Yeah, the finances is always a challenge for the associate nations. Our board are relying on the finances they get from the ICC, and then the sponsors locally that they can get. So currently we do have 15 plus contracts from the Cricket Namibia board. Guys can make a living of that as of now, but as we know, we can't play cricket forever. So come our age 34, 36, then we need to be able to either invested in some sort of education, or have invested our money into some, maybe it's entrepreneurship or whatever, but to take care of life after cricket, you definitely need to make a plan early on. So as of now, I think many of our players are able to make a living, but they definitely need to prepare for the future. Our board and our coach and our staff is very cognizant of that, so they try and get guys into studying and get guys into thinking about life after cricket. I think there is already two or three players in the team that have studied and have degrees behind their name. Two or three of the players in the contracting group also do part-time work. They have young families, so obviously they need a bit of extra finances. And our cricket schedule does allow the odd work or odd job to be done. And these guys are also qualified as professionals, so they are able to work after hours. They deal with the coaches just to give 100% of their contractual obligations at cricket. So yeah, that's that. As for myself, I've studied, so I'm able to play cricket for the foreseeable future, and then I do the odd job at the law office in Windhoek.
Namibia is an extremely large country with only 2.7 million inhabitants. In fact, it's the third least densely populated nation on Earth. Theoretically, Namibia shouldn't be anywhere near the top of the world rankings, but in reality, they are ranked 18th in the world for one-day internationals and 19th in T20 internationals. What makes the team so successful?
I guess Namibia have sort of inherited a cricketing culture from our neighbour, South Africa. Namibia, back in the days, used to be one of the provinces of Africa and governed under South African rule, so it definitely, our cricketing days come from our past, and I think it has carried on throughout our independence. Namibia, as you say, we don't have a large amounts of people, so we don't have a large playing pool, but I do think we have a very talented one, one where those players within the system are given lots of opportunities, they're given lots of attention, and their skill sets develop very quickly. Obviously, I also get exposed to high levels of cricket quite early. Our under-13s, under-15s, under-19s age group cricket, they tend to travel to South Africa and play cricket there. Many of our guys tend to go overseas to England and recently also to New Zealand to play cricket. So the few guys we have and the small amount of talent pool we have do get great opportunities. They do get great attention and great coaching. So I think we do very well, as you say, for such a small player pool to be so high in world cricket. And hopefully we can, along with that talent, also spread the game to more Namibians. That is constantly something that Cricket Namibia has tried to do. It's constantly in their plans. We've seen many players over the last couple of years also come from other areas, as we spoke about earlier, than just Windhoek, the capital. So, Cricket Namibia do their best and their bit to spread the game to Namibia. Hopefully in the years to come we can see even more Namibians play cricket. There's a great deal of talent in the northern areas and in the coastal area, as you said earlier, and we need to try and tap into that. But it's the obvious struggles of funding and trying to get coaching and the culture of cricket going in Namibia and in the north. It's mainly a footballing country. We're also a third world country, so it's quite an expensive sport just to try and make people catch on to. So those are the other challenges of our small player pool.
In 2003, Namibia played in their first and only Cricket World Cup to date. They were even close to causing an upset over England. How much do the squad currently look up to that 2003 side?
Yeah, I definitely think the 2003 side left a legacy, and many of our current players look up to many of those players, and back in the days they definitely went to go watch their games. We definitely still remember the 2003 World Cup games on television. So many of us started playing cricket because of them, and we really enjoyed the way they did it. And they went through a qualifying stage in 2002 in Canada where they went unbeaten for 10 games. So they were really a side that weren't very talented, but they knew how to get the best out of themselves, and I think they started off a great legacy for cricket in Namibia. To this day we still have those guys around. We invite them for gala dinners and stuff whenever before we have tournaments, and they still impart their knowledge to us, and they sort of support us, which is really cool. We enjoy their company. A guy like Cyril Burger, for example, played in the 2003 World Cup, and he continued as player and later as captain for our team until about 2017-2018. So their legacy is definitely running strong through Namibian cricket.
Now, last year you were awarded Player of the Tournament in the T20 World Cup qualifiers and captained Namibia to fourth place, which booked your place in this year's T20 World Cup in Australia. How was that experience for you and the entire team?
Yeah, definitely a very proud moment for us as a team to qualify for first world stage tournament since that 2003 World Cup. It was a really tough tournament. We'd been playing good cricket going into the tournament, but obviously we didn't start off very well, losing to the Netherlands after restricting them to 130 in that first game. Their opening bowlers blew us away, and then in the second game we lost to Papua New Guinea quite badly. So we had a horrible start, and we then had Scotland up next, which wasn't ideal. I mean, they were pipped as one of the favourites for that tournament. And then we luckily managed to beat them, and we had to get our momentum in the tournament and peak at the right time, and we did just that. We gathered some momentum through the middle stages of the tournament, and we peaked at the right time when the playoffs came, beating Oman in the Dubai Stadium. So it was a very special moment for us, being such a small country and such a small cricketing nation. It was a major achievement, and I think it surely did change many lives, and not only in the team, but for kids back home. They speak about watching the World Cup in a few months' time. Yeah, I mean, just awesome experience. And personally, also a great experience for myself doing well in the tournament. Obviously, nice to know that this was on the world stage, and obviously with lots of people watching.
As of now, I believe you average 34.75 in T20 internationals, which happens to put you in the top 25 averages from any nation. What is your key to success in T20 cricket?
I think as a batsman, the key is firstly to get clarity on your role in a T20 game. It's a very quick game. It can be over before you see it, and you can be caught off guard. So I think you need clarity in your role, where you're playing. Are you attacking? Are you one that builds an innings and then attacks later? Which type of bowlers do you attack? And once you have that clarity, you start defining your role really well, and you start becoming good at it, and that brings you consistency. So then you know that your blueprint is sorted out. You go out into a cricket match, you know it's ahead of you. You've prepared for the opposition bowlers, and that's the way you just get consistency in your game. I think it should be as simple as possible, in my mind.
As we do on the Domestic Cricket Podcast, we asked our fans what questions they wanted to ask you. The first one we received is, what is your favourite place to visit in Namibia?
Oh, my favourite place would definitely have to be somewhere in the northern part of the country. So Etosha Pan comes to mind. There's lots of animals, and it's just a vast area of beautiful scenery. I love to travel, I love to be in the bush. So Etosha National Park is definitely one that's very close to my heart. I actually been there just 2 weeks ago and took some awesome photographs. And another one that comes to mind is definitely the Caprivi region. It's a region with lots of rivers and lots of wildlife as well. You can go on lots of game drives with all sorts of animals. So I definitely urge the fans to come visit Namibia. It's a beautiful country. It's very peaceful and safe, and people are very friendly around here. And the tourism industry is certainly underrated in Namibia, and I think many people tend to go to the big places, but check out Namibia. I think it's an awesome spot.
Our second fan question is, who is the best opponent you have ever played against?
I think from a batting perspective, as a youngster facing up to Duan Olivier was quite menacing. He was very rapid at the time, and he was bowling very fast on the day, so I really struggled to sort of combat him. And as a player myself, I'd have to say Quinton de Kock as well. He hammered us in 119 World Cup. He had about 130 after 33 overs, so it was just balls flying everywhere.
Our third and final question is, what is your favourite batting innings that you've ever had?
I think as a batsman, you take the most pride out of innings that had a bit of mental battles and one that was in a tougher situation. So the one against Kenya, I think, stands out in the T20 World Cup qualifier. As I said earlier, we weren't able to lose another one, otherwise we were out of the running for the T20 World Cup, and we were 60-4, so I think after 10 or 11 overs. So I sort of had to battle through that period, and then I managed to get us to kick on and get 160. And the innings after that against Singapore, I really got into a zen mode and was able to hit boundaries at will a bit, so those two probably combined again. I just can't call my favourites, eh? I think those two combined is my best batting performance.
Well, Gerhard, I'd like to thank you for your time, and I hope you understood everything, because I understand our accents are very different. But it was great speaking to you and getting to learn a lot about Namibia, which I plan to travel in a few years' time. It's a beautiful country, and hopefully I'll see you later this year at the T20 World Cup in Australia, if it happens, or hopefully next year they'll postpone it to. But once again, thanks for your time and thanks for joining us on the Domestic Cricket Podcast.
No problem, mate. It was lots of fun speaking to you guys. Thank you for your kind words on Namibia, and you should definitely travel Namibia. It's a beautiful place. And thank you to all the listeners for joining us. Cheers.